So let's review. The Mishnah on the previous daf had mentioned that one of the seven takanas of Beis Din was that one is not moil in Efer Parah. This implies that midaraisa one is moil, and the Chacham removed this me'ila. However, the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches, Schatas melamed shemoilim ba moyalin vein moilim ba'afara, which seems to imply that midaraisa one is not moil in the ashes of the paraduma. The Gemara answers, Amar bevo, v'rishayna hoyu mishtak shekin ba. People used to use the ash of the paraduma as a salve for their wounds. And so the Chacham instituted Mi'ila Dirabanan. As soon as people once again refrained from using the ash for personal use, the Beis Din removed their takana and restored it to the Torah law that one is not moil in the ashes of the paraduma. Hanulach Perak Moish Nimtzu. The Gemara begins the eighth and final Perak of Masechta Shkalim. The Mishnah discusses the reik that is found in Yerushalayim. As a general rule, the reik, the spittle, of a zav and a zava is considered an avatum, and is metame adam mekelim. The Chacham instituted a gzeira that the spittle of a non-Jew also has a law of avatum. Normally, if someone touches spittle in a city other than Yerushalayim, they become tame. Our Mishnah discusses the law of spittle found in Yerushalayim. Zok the Mishnah, kol reikin hanimtzam b'Yerushalayim tahirin, chut mishal shuk elyon divrei meir. Rav Meir holds that all spittle found in Yerushalayim is tahar, as non-Jews do not frequent there, and zav and zavis would normally stay away from Yerushalayim, as it is a city of achilas kachim, with the exception of the upper market, which would be frequented by non-Jews. Rabbi Yosi Omer, b'shar kol yemes hashana shebe'emtza temeyin shebitzdadin tahirin, u'b'shas regel shebe'emtza tahirin shebitzdadin temeyin, memnei shehamu'atin mistalkan letzdadin. Rabbi Yosi maintains that during the year, not during the Shalosh Regalim, spittle found in the middle of the street would be tame, and on the side streets would be tar. Tame people would frequent the main streets, and the spittle found there would be tame, whereas the people who were tar would try and stay to the side streets. On the Shalosh Regalim would be exactly the opposite, as the majority of the people were tar, and those who were not tar would divert to the side streets. Kol hakelim hanimtzan b'Yerushalayim, derech yirid lebeis hatefila tamein, v'derech aliyah tahirin, Shaloi kiridus aliyasin derimer. Vessels found in Yerushalayim on the path going to the mikvah tame, and on the path coming from the mikvah tahar. Rabbi Yosi Omer, kulam taharin. Chutz min asal v'hamagrefa v'hamaritza hamiyuchadim likvaris. Rabbi Yosi holds that all vessels found in Yerushalayim may be considered tahar, with the exception of special utensils used for burying the dead. The Mishnah continues. Sakin shenimtzis b'yodalet, sheichet b'miyah. If one found a knife in Yerushalayim on the 14th of Nisan, one can assume that it has already been purified and can use it immediately. However, if found on the 13th, the knife needs to be purified, as we assume that the owner has not yet tended to the purification of the knife. And although we just learned that according to Rav Yosi, we are not cheshish v'safik tum in Yerushalayim, because of the chumra of kodshim, they were machmer with knives. Kaifitz b'zeh u'b'zeh shaynu matvil. A kaifet, which is a very large knife used for cutting bones and joints, which would not be needed until after the 15th of Nisan, as one cannot cut the bones of a Korban Pesach, even if found on the 14th of Nisan, needs to be purified in a mikveh, as we assume that the owner did not yet tend to purifying his knife. However, chala ba asto lias b'Shabbos sheichet b'miyad. If the 14th of Nisan falls on Shabbos, then we assume that the kaifet's owner already tended to the purification of the knife, since he cannot purify it in the mikvah on Shabbos and must have tended to this before. The Gemara relates that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the goyim would kill many wild donkeys in order to feed to the lions of the king. This caused great pools of blood which the Eilei Regalim would encounter, and the Eilei Regalim were concerned that this blood of nevela animals would be metame them. However, the Chacham held that the blood of a nevela was not metame, and the Eilei Regalim need not be concerned. On the same topic, the Gemara relates the story of Rebbe's donkey which died, and the Chacham ruled that the blood of the donkey was tahar. Flesh of an nevela animal is tame, but inedible parts of the animal, such as skin, horns, bones, do not contract tumas nevela. There is machlokes about the blood, whether it has a status of flesh, which is tame, or of inedible parts, which are tahar. As a Chacham ruled that the blood of the donkey was tahar, Rabbi Elazar and then Rabbi Yitzchak both asked if the blood was rendered tahar because of its status, or perhaps the shearing question was less than the requisite amount. In fact, the answer was ad revias, that the blood of the donkey was tar only because it had a shear of less than revias. However, if it was more than that, it would be tame. The Gemara tries to determine the halacha about dam nevela and suggests The dam nevela is tame. However, it is not machshir foods to be mekabel tama. The Gemara questions this based on the Mishnah Machshirin, which says that the blood of a sheretz is metame but not machshir, and there is no other case like this. This was thought to mean that only dam sheretz is metame without being machshir. But the Gemara clarifies that what the Mishnah meant was that dam sheretz is unique as having the same shear of tuma for its blood as for the flesh of the animal, which is kadosha, as opposed to nevela, where the blood is tame berevius and the flesh is bikizayis. The Gemara concludes that dam nevela is a machlokes, where Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is tahar, whereas Rabbi Shua ben Pesayer holds that it is tame. Zok the Mishnah. Pareches shenitmas bevlad hatuma matvil noisa befnim umachnisa isa miyad. If one of the pareches curtains contracted tuma from a vlad hatuma, which is a tuma midrabanan, it may be tabled in the mikveh in the azara, and it need not be removed right away from the azara, as this is only a tuma midrabanan. Similarly, if it was taken out of the azara to be tabled, it may be brought back right away and hung in its proper place. However, v'shenitmas bi av hatuma matbil noisa bachutz. If it contracted tumah from an avah tumah, which is a tumah deraisa, it must be removed immediately from the azara and tabled in an outside mikveh, and it will then need harav shemesh to wait overnight until it may be brought back into the azara. If this is a new pareches, then it is hung to dry on the roof so that the people should be able to behold the beauty of the new pareches. Since we discussed the laws of tumah related to the pareches, the Mishnah continues to discuss the attributes of the pareches itself. The pareches was a tefach thick and was prepared on 72 weaving machines. Each thread was a 24-ply thread, combined of tchelis, argamon, tlashani v'shesh. Some say it was 36-ply thread, and some say it was 48 ply thread. It was 40 amas high and 20 amas wide, as were the dimensions of the heichel. Umipei beis riboy hoisinasis. The pareches was made out of 820,000 threads. Some explain this to mean that each new pareches cost 820,000 golden dinar. And some explain it to mean that it was made by 820,000 young girls who had not yet reached maturity so as not to have any chashash of tumah in the production process. The two pareches curtains for the heichel were replaced twice each year, as the smoke from the keteris in the heichel would blacken the pareches. These curtains were so heavy that it took 300 kahanim to table them. Some say that this number is an exaggerated number, but meaning to say a very large number of kahanim. The Gemara now explains how the pareches curtains were decorated. Kasav echad ayma meiser roikim, parts of echad, one pasuk by the pareches for the entrance to the Mishkan says Maisa Reikim, and another pasuk by the pareches for the entrance to the Kodesh Kodeshim says Maisa Cheshev. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nechemya. One opinion holds that Maisa Reikim implies a line figure on either side, as opposed to Maisa Cheshev, which implies a line figure on one side and blank on the other side. Whereas the second opinion holds that Maisa Reikim implies a line figure on one side and blank on the other side, whereas Maisa Cheshev refers to a line figure on one side and an eagle on the other side of the pareches.